You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back to Dropping the Gloves. I love a good Friday episode, Tim. It's the best. You know, I don't want to say I'm a modern day Nostradamus. I don't want to go that far. But my predictions for these first four series, they're coming to fruition pretty quickly. They're fast and the furious. Going into this second round, I said the Oilers and Flames. I said the first game, don't be surprised if it's 8-5. Did I not? It's going to be just back and forth, tons of goals. And lo and behold, it was just a ton of goals. The other series, the Rangers and Canes, you and I both agreed it's going to be a low-scoring, tightly contested game. It was. I said the Lightning Panthers, this is going to be a sweep, I said. I wasn't sold on the Florida Panthers. I said the Lightning are just, they're too much for them, the Panthers. For whatever reason, in my brain, they just don't have it. And lo and behold, they're down 2-0. And then the Blues and the Avs. I said, don't you sleep on these St. Louis Blues. They are really good. Everybody had the Avs winning in 5. Maybe they'll stretch it to 6, but the Avs are going to win. And I said, don't you dare do this to the St. Louis Blues. There's a lot of unknowns on this Avs team. Yes, they dispatched the Nashville Predators in 4, but who the heck were the Nashville Predators? Honestly. Bunch of thugs on ice trying to bully everybody around. Nobody cared. And now they're finally getting a test. And maybe they're not answering it very well. And now that series is tied 1-1 of the juggernaut Colorado Avalanche. I've been reading all these articles. Oh, they're so good. They're unstoppable. Modern day Detroit Red Wings with the Eisermans, Fedorovs, all these guys. Yeah, let's just pump the brakes here on the Colorado Avalanche. I do think they'll win the series. But maybe it's going to be a little bit more difficult than everybody thought. Everybody besides me. Because I knew exactly what was going to happen. And that's what you get here, everybody, listening to Dropping the Gloves. Just in-depth, correct predictions. Right, Tim?
Are you sure you didn't say the Avs were going to sweep the Blues?
No, but 100% I did not. I said the Lightning were going to sweep the Panthers. And I said the Flames are going to sweep the Oilers.
Okay.
Facts. Okay. Check true. Go back and listen to the episodes. I listened to all our episodes multiple times, and I didn't. Well, allegedly, I do. I should say that allegedly, but yeah,
that's why our numbers are so good. It's all you. Oh,
so thousands of listens I do every day, but no, I did not say that because the Blues are too good, and I still, it's funny. All these teams are great. I don't trust most of them. I trust the Lightning because they've been there, done that, and I trust the Flames because I think they're coached well and built for the playoffs. Oilers have questions, Canes have questions, Rangers, Panthers, Avs, and I do trust the Blues. I do, but I don't think they have the amount of talent that is necessary to win a Stanley Cup. But there's, out of the 8 teams, I think I trust 3 of them. And there's, not that I don't trust the other teams, but there's question marks. And when there's questions, that means there's problems. And when there's problems, things can arise. And we're seeing it in the second round. So let's get into it, to the games last night. There was 2 games last night, and I think there's going to be 2 games tonight, and there's probably going to be 2 games tomorrow night. This was the second game of a 7-round series. The Tampa Bay Lightning, Florida Panthers are separated by a mere 75 miles. It's a short jog over to the Florida Panthers home rink for Tampa Bay, and it looked like both teams were having home cooking because it was a good game. For all the accolades of how offensively gifted the Florida Panthers are, averaging more than 4 goals a game, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Kucherovs, the Stamkoses, the Hedmans, the Killorns, they're missing Braden Point. A big, big hole in that lineup. It was a very tightly contested game, and the players who stood out for me in this game, Tim, were the ones between the pipes. Both goaltenders, they played really, really well. Don't you think all the questions around Bobrovsky coming into this playoff round, he was the best player on the ice for me on both ends of the ice. I thought he played incredible. What did you think of the goaltenders? What did you think of this game? Just from a first glance, hot take, give us the Stephen A. Smith special, Tim.
Yeah, I think the goaltender's played well. Even that goal that Vasilevsky let in is probably one I think he would have wanted back. It was a weird shot that kind of tucked, it looked like under his arm maybe.
Yeah.
And I saw that, I'm like, oh, Vasilevsky doesn't usually let that goal in, but he settled in after that, and he played really well the rest of the game. But I think so far this series has been kind of a dud. Like, even though we're pretty close games, it doesn't really feel like close when you watch it. And from what I can tell, like, the arena in Florida was pretty quiet. There's not a lot of, like, the bitterness and hatred that I thought we'd see between these two teams. And right now, Tampa's got them feeling pretty good. They're up 2-0 on the road heading back home. It could be a sweep, like you said. It doesn't seem like Florida really has a response yet.
Well, there was two series that everybody was excited for. Oilers, Flames, Lightning, Panthers. Interstate, interprovincial rivalries. How do you follow up the Oilers, Flames act? It's just you can't contend with what happened in Calgary the night prior. And what are you going to do? You know, they're not the same teams that they were last year when there was all that animosity when Florida was trying to drive Panthers through the boards and Tampa Bay won that series, I believe 4-2. I think I said a sweep last show. I was wrong. It was 4-2. It's a different series. Florida's a different team. They have transitioned from, you know, a slobber knocker, punch in the face type of team to we're going to skate around you. We're going to chip and chase. We're going to be offensively on. We're going to be on our toes. We're going to force you to make mistakes. The only problem is, and this is a problem with the Florida Panthers in this series, Tampa doesn't make many mistakes. They're a very experienced team. They don't overextend themselves. They've done this. They've been the Florida Panthers. They've been excited. They've been in the second round. They've been playing teams that they want to beat. And they get ahead of themselves a little bit too much, and they end up giving chances to the other teams. And that's what I noticed in the first period. Florida was flying. They were in on the forecheck. They were being physical. They were getting some decent scoring chances. Not grade A. But then all of a sudden, they didn't check themselves. Maybe they got a little too overconfident. Then all of a sudden, boom, you give up a 2-on-1. Patrick Maroon almost scores. Boom, you give up another 2-on-1. And I believe it was Cirelli almost scores. So Tampa's first two shots were grade A 2-on-1 chances. And Florida didn't correct themselves. That's why the shot disparity is like, oh, Florida must have played great. When you look at the chances, when you look at the time of possession, the time of possession is fairly even if it's an even game. But as a whole, I think Tampa had way better chances than Florida. Bobrovsky played great. He robbed Palat. Maybe the save of the playoffs so far. Cross ice feed from McDonough. Palat gets all of it. Bobrovsky comes across and just absolutely robs him. And he had a few saves like that. And it was just a case of Florida's buzzing. Oh, they turn it over. We're going the other way 3-on-2. Florida's buzzing. Oh, they turn it over. Going the way 2-on-1 or a partial breakaway. Nick Paul, if Nick Paul had any scoring senses, Nick Paul would score 3 goals a game. Does he not get so many chances every single game, whether it's shorthanded, whether it's on a forecheck? And he always manages to get a chance where he's just like a tornado spinning around out there. And he's got the puck and he's all alone in front of the net. I'm like, how does this happen? The guy's 6'5". He obviously, you can see him. And then he just gets these chances. It's wild. If he had any sort of mitts, he'd get 35, 40 goals a game. He would be leading the league in scoring right now in the playoffs. Because do you not see that? Or am I the only one just because I like tall guys?
No, you're right. He reminds me of Danny Paille, where Danny would get like 2 breakaways a game. He was strong, fast, and then he would either put it right in the goalie's chest or he'd shoot it off the glass. And it was just like, Danny, come on. And he'd end up with like 11 goals a year when he should have 25.
Nick Paul's special is to get a great chance and just throw it far side off the pad. He does it every time. I'm like, Nick, just try to shoot it high. Dude, throw a lifter on net. He just doesn't do it. He's such a good player. Even when he gets like out of position, he busts his behind back. He's the first guy back in the zone. What a pickup for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Honestly, a fifth rounder for Nick Paul. And he's been playing fantastic. Their third and fourth lines with Belmar, Maroon, Paul, Hagel, Colton, they're playing so great, so incredibly great. That's what makes Tampa Bay great. But anyways, back to the game. Power play goal, another third and fourth line guy. Corey Perry getting bumped up to the power play with Braden Point being gone. Beautiful redirect, shot pass from Kucherov. By the way, he's sitting right between Perry, the defenseman, and the forward. You've got to get a stick on that guy. You have to just adjust him, push him, make it a little bit more difficult for him. He just sits there like a statue, and Kucherov just throws it off his stick. Whatever. It was a good goal. Tampa goes up 1-0. Florida answers 1-1, and it's just a back-and-forth affair after that. Like you said, a pretty boring, exciting game. Nothing to, you know, write home about. There's not any great plays or scrums or hits or that, this and that. The Bobrovsky save is the one that I'm like, whoa, that's a good save. But then you think you're going to overtime, right? Let's go. We're going to overtime. Florida has a couple of good chances in the Tampa zone. Vasilevsky kicks it out. Tampa takes it the other way. A nothing play. The shot block, puck goes into the corner. Kucherov goes and picks it up. This is someone should lose their job for this. And the person who should lose their job is Mackenzie Weegar, because there's 5 seconds left on the clock. Kucherov's behind the net, and he's not all alone. Weegar's partner's on his hip for whatever reason. And you can go watch this. Weegar feels it's his duty to go and blow Kucherov up behind the net. I need to hit this guy. I need to make an impact play. Forsling's on Kucherov's hip already. Weegar leaves the front of the net, goes and tries to finish Kucherov from behind the net. He throws it out to Colton. Colton goes top shelf, game over. It's such an incredibly bad play for Mackenzie Weegar. He should not be allowed to play in the NHL ever again.
Wow. He's a good player. That was a bonehead play, though. I'm watching it right now on replay. It's like, yeah, I think he was like trying to be a hero and lay a big hit on Kucherov, which he doesn't even do. And then all of a sudden you got Ross Colton all by himself in front of the net, and the air just sucked out of the building. 3.8 seconds left and the game's over.
Your season is over on that one decision right there by Mackenzie Weegar. I'm going to go and try to finish Kucherov. No situational awareness at all. None. You have to know what the time is on the clock. You have to know what the score is. You have to know what's happening in the game. Like, how dumb are you, Mackenzie Weegar? I'm sorry. He's probably a great kid. Bonehead play. He was just getting too excited. I talked about this when we first started about this series. They're getting too aggressive, too ahead of themselves. The key for Florida, if they want to win this series, if they have any chance of coming back, less is more. This is what I tell my kids all the time. Patience. You have to be patient. You can't have everything now, 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 now. I want the candy now. I want to go to the pool now. I want to do this now, 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 now. No, you have to be patient. You have to do your chores first. If you're Florida, before you go rushing into that corner, look around. Is there anybody behind me before you go rushing in? If you're pinching, is anybody coming out of the zone? Am I going to get burnt? Is this going to turn into a 2-on-1? Be patient. They're so excited. They want to do everything now, make the big play and be the hero and win the game. That's not how it works. This is the playoffs. And they did it in the regular season, so they thought maybe they could just transition it to the playoffs where they had all these epic comebacks. They were down 3 goals, down 2 goals, down 4 goals, and they would come back. You can't come back in the playoffs versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. You can't do it. They're not going to let you do it. If you're down 1 goal in the third period to Tampa Bay, good luck. Good luck. They're going to take advantage of your overextending yourselves and extend their lead. They're not going to give you anything. And that goes for all the teams if they're a smartly coached team. And Florida, the only way they get back in this series, Bobrovsky's playing great. That's not the issue. Their defense is playing solid. They have to be patient and just plug away. You can't just expect to blow every team out. And I don't think they have it in them. I don't think mentally they can do that. I think Tampa Bay is better than them at that facet of the game. Florida might be more talented. I don't think they're as disciplined and as mentally there as Tampa Bay is. I really don't. So as soon as they get down the goal, they just get excited. They're not strong enough to be like, you know what, we're going to keep chugging away. They overextend themselves. Everybody's trying to do everybody else's job. Weegar goes in the – it's such a bad play, Tim. It's such an incredibly bad play. Is there any chance for Florida in this series?
Well, I was just about to ask you, like, are you standing by your sweet prediction based on what you've seen so far?
The only reason I would change is because Bobrovsky's playing so good. Like, he's playing lights out. So if he continues to play this way, I do think Florida could squeak out one, maybe two games. But I think the series is over. You can't lose your first two games at home and expect to win 4 out of 5 games with 3 of them being in Tampa Bay. I just think it's a tough pill to swallow. You're not going to win 2 in Tampa Bay. It's they've dug themselves a massive, massive, massive hole, and I don't see them getting out of it. So, no, I think Tampa wins. Florida, I do think they could squeeze out a game just based on how good Bob's playing. He's playing really great. These Russian goaltenders, my goodness, Shishkin, Bobrovsky, Vasilevsky, lights out. It's like they're really, really good. It's impressive. What are they drinking in Russia over there? Vodka, Tim. Lots of vodka. Lots of vodka.
You're not allowed to ask. That's
what are we doing here? Let's move on to the next series. The Avs and the Blues. not a sweep. Your Colorado Avalanche, infallible Colorado Avalanche. What happened to them last night, Tim?
First of all, I was the one who said if they make it to the Cup Finals, this is the toughest series that they'll play this entire run.
Which I disagreed upon, and I still disagree.
That's fine. You can do that. They
so let's just break down that one point. So Calgary next series, Calgary won't be as good as St. Louis, and Tampa Bay won't be as good.
That's the closest one, but yeah, I said this right after Tampa looked tired against the Leafs and barely won that series.
Yeah.
They look good. This is before the two games they played against Florida, but
they look pretty good. You know, who's looking really good is Toronto. This is a good case for how good Toronto is because Tampa's not having their way with Florida, but they're up 2-0. If they sweep Florida and they end up winning the Stanley Cup, Toronto's gonna be like, well, see, we lost to the champs. We took them the furthest more than any other team. We're good. This is like Toronto's worst nightmare.
I thought you were going to make a golf joke or something. You know, it's looking good. Is Matthew shot a 74.
I would never do that after Mitch Marner got carjacked. What a crazy story. You hear about that?
That's scary. Yeah.
All right, Avs Blues. So first period, 0-0 after one. Tightly contested game. St. Louis looked like they had a little bit more jump compared to the first game. Kempfer looks strong. Binnington looks strong. You know who impresses me? That stinking Perron, O'Reilly, Buchnevich line is so good. Every time they're on the ice, every time I see a shot, every time I see a scoring chance, it's always those three. And they did it versus Minnesota, and I was like, oh, whatever, Minnesota's bad on defense. Every time they're on the ice, they're in Colorado zone. It's amazing. They're so incredibly good. Are they the best line in this series so far? Do you think at the end of this series – they're better than the McKinnon, Landeskog, whoever else they have, the Rantanen line? Because right now, they have been the best line.
Yeah, I mean, they played really well so far. And I'm looking, especially, well, a couple guys. O'Reilly is one of those guys that in the playoffs, he can win you games. He's so good. We started in 2019. He's so good at both ends of the ice. He's so strong. And David Perron, just that man buries his shots. I don't know what he's doing. He's not even like, you would never consider him like an elite goal scorer. The playoffs come around, you need a clutch goal. David Perron's on the ice. He's going to get it for you. He's done it
7 goals
multiple years. Yeah. He's doing it now.
So after the first, everything's good for both teams. Everybody goes into the locker room. We're happy. We had a good first period. No one's made any drastic mistakes. Cue the second period. Darcy Kampfer must have went in after the first period and chugged a bunch of beers because he was atrocious from the second period on. Every goal St. Louis scored was weak. Everyone should have been saved. I don't know what's going on with goaltenders these days. The chicken wing. They're letting goals go in the chicken wing. I don't know why this is happening, but he let in. The first goal was a Kyrou shot on a transition play, a knuckler from the top of the circle. So he had enough time to adjust, goes in. Second goal, 5-on-3. Aforementioned Perron gets a cross-ice feed. Not a cross-ice. It went from the D-man up high to him. So not even that much movement from him. He has to go from the center position and over. It chicken wings him again. So he's there. He's in position. He just doesn't save it. He gets chicken wing there. 2-0. Big test for the Avalanche. Like I was saying before, they never got tested when they played Nashville. I think they were down total in the whole series, Tim. The whole stinking series. What's 6 times 4? 24. All right. Well, you're not a math guy. It's fine.
I didn't know you're actually asking me.
240 minutes they played that series. They had a little overtime. So maybe 245 minutes they played in that series. They were down 4 minutes the whole entire time. That's insane. So they didn't trail very often. This was the first time they went into a period trailing. They came out of the period trailing. How are they going to react? What team is going to show up? They had a good pushback. They score a couple minutes in on a power play, and then another weak one. A mistake by Cale Makar. Well, I don't want to throw it all on Makar. There was a transition play that Colorado does a lot where they win a draw. Makar comes flying down the boards, and this, I think it's the winger who picks up the one draw and drops it to Makar, and he goes around. He scored versus Nashville on that in the overtime game. So it's a play they work on. Bad little transition there. I think it was, gosh, there's so many Vitches. There's Buchnevich is the first line for St. Louis. It's the Ninkovich, or it was a Vitch. Bad transition. Anyways, Makar gets caught 2-on-1 back. Another terrible goal. Perron gets this puck. It hits his glove. It hits Kempfer's glove. It was almost as bad as the Jack Campbell goal from last series where he looks at his glove and it's not there. It hits his glove and it just ricochets into the net. I don't understand. I don't get it. It's a bad goal. 3-1 for Colorado, or excuse me, for St. Louis. And that was all she wrote. They could pick up an empty netter goal. Another terrible goal by Kempfer. He's got to have that. 4-1 empty netter by Brandon Saad. Now we got a series. It's a whole new series. St. Louis could have won the first game. They could have stole it in overtime, but Colorado wins. They dominated the 13-0 shot differential. They threw 100-plus shots at St. Louis. Binnington looks fantastic. The first line for St. Louis looks fantastic. The power play is still clicking for St. Louis. Their defense don't look that bad. Everybody was like, that's their biggest weakness. I defended those guys. I think Letty's going to play good. Parenko's going to play good. Bertuzzo's going to play good. Oh, and then you got Justin Falk. Everybody forgets about him. Forget about Krug, whatever. Even when he was in the lineup, he was okay. He wasn't the Krug that he was in Boston, but he's a good player. You got a series, Tim. What are the keys for the Avs here? Because they were supposed to walk through these guys. They're the Colorado Avalanche. Are they done? Can I stick a fork in them yet? What needs to happen for Colorado to not get back in this series, but for them, they played two games. The first one went to overtime. They only scored two goals. This game, they only got one. What's going on with their offense? What do they need to do?
Well, they played really well in game one. Binnington made 51 saves. Let's not forget. Like, they were dominating in shots and opportunities and all that. It was a close game, but it was really they outplayed the Blues the entire game, if not for Binnington. So I think they want to get back to that. And they need Kemper to be better. I mean, those two goals, you let in a stinker every now and then. You can't let two in the same game like that. And I think
three.
So
three. He dropped a deuce plus one.
So, yeah, they need him to be better than that. They need, like, as you like to say, they need to make the saves he's supposed to save. And he didn't do it last night. And I think the Blues, like the Lightning, are a team that capitalizes on those opportunities. So that's the kind of thing that I think that can really suck the air out of their lungs and everything like that. So I think Kemper's got to be the key there.
I agree. And I think you nailed it. I don't think he has to be what Binnington is right now. This great goaltender making acrobatic saves and just keeping his team in the game. He has to be average. No one wants you to be a Patrick Waugh back there, Darcy. Just save the pucks that you're supposed to save. It's a very simple concept. It's not very difficult. Colorado is a great team. Just don't scuttle. It was like remember when the Baltimore Ravens had that fantastic defense and Trent Dilfer was their quarterback? And like, Trent, you're going to throw the ball 10 times. Throw it 5 yards, and that's all we need you to do. We'll win these games 6-3. We'll hand the ball off to Jamal Lewis and we'll win a Super Bowl. He was a game manager. That's what we want Darcy Kempfer to be. Darcy, stay in your net, stay square. So just let the puck hit you. That's all we want you to do. And he couldn't do it this past game. The puck was going through him, which is hard to do. I challenge you to stand there and let someone shoot the puck on you. And they're going to shoot it at you and just see how many goals they score. Darcy managed to let three go right through him. It's an incredible feat for a goaltender. But yeah, going into game three tomorrow night for the Avs Blues, do you expect a bounce back? This is the question with Colorado, right? This is what we talked about all season long. Who cares about the regular season? We know they're a fantastic team. We know what they can do. We know their potential. What is going to happen when the rubber hits the road, when it's time to see what you're made of? What team are we going to see tomorrow night, Tim, from Colorado? What do you think?
I think we see a really strong bounce back game. We see one of those games where McKinnon makes those beautiful plays. I think we see Makar buzzing up and down the ice. And I think we'll see. I don't know if they'll win because it's a tough building to play in. And Binnington has played so well, like you said. But I think we won't see the Avalanche that we saw last night.
I agree. I hope they have a good pushback because, gosh, I want to see them in Calgary in the second round. I really do. Or the third round, excuse me. That's my dream Western Conference final. Those two teams just going at it. Oh, I can't wait to see it. You know what else I can't wait to see? Tonight, when I order DoorDash, I don't eat meat on Friday, so I'm going to get a nice cheese pizza, and I'm going to use DoorDash, and it's going to arrive at my door. It's going to be fantastic, and I'm going to use promo code GlovesDDUS because I'm in Traverse City, Michigan, and it's going to be so good, Tim. I'm going to get 25% off free delivery, and you know what else is kind of cool? All of our listeners can get that deal too, not just me, the host of the show.
What?
Isn't that crazy? That's unbelievable. I can't believe they're letting people get this good of a deal. The same deal that I'm getting. You plebs get the same deal that I get. And it's my show.
John, you played in the NHL. How can I get the same deal as you? That makes no sense.
Listen, I don't like it as much as you do. I think I should get everything better than everybody else, but not DoorDash. They're giving everybody this deal. So listen, all you listeners tonight, tell the wives, tell the kids, tell the girlfriends, tell whoever. We're staying in. We're going to order out. We're going to get some food from DoorDash, and it's going to be great. And we're going to get it cheap, and we're going to get it quick, and we're going to get a free delivery because we're going to use promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in the USA. GlovesDD if you're in Canada, not the US, just GlovesDD. So check it out. You get good deals. You get good food. Tell them we sent you. All right. Got a couple games tonight. And there's one game I want to recap, but we're going to save it for the end because possibly the best playoff game I've ever watched in my whole entire life. It was incredible. Start to finish on the edge of your seat. Well, not the whole time you're on the edge of your seat. You might have taken a walk because it was, I think, 5-1 at one point, 6-2 at one point. But let's check in on the Canes Rangers. You watched this whole game. You love this game. What did I miss from the Canes Rangers series, Tim? Break it down.
Well, yeah, I like the Canes. Even though they beat the Bruins, I've been trying to figure out, and I haven't decided yet, and I guess it's kind of late now, like, who's going to be my team now that the Bruins are out? Who am I going to watch and follow and root for? And the Canes, I hate to say it, they're a likable team. I like what they bring. It was a good game. I watched most of it. The Rangers looked really good, especially in the first half of the game. You had that play from Hedl in the first with a really bad turnover by Tony DeAngelo, just trying to go D-to-D from his own blue line. And Lafreniere just sees it coming, sticks his stick out, and intercepts it. All of a sudden, you get a 3-on-1 going the other way, and he passes over to Hedl, who scores. Really good. So you can see this little play by Lafreniere is making in the last two series where it's like you can see that star breaking out.
Who said that? Who said that?
I think I said that a couple times.
I think we should go back and listen because I might have said that. And that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. And then in the first half of the game, the Rangers, first half of the third, the Rangers outshot the Canes 7-0 and 10-4 for the third period. So they outplayed them for most of the game. And Gallant, the Rangers coach, said, quote, "The first two periods were perfect hockey for us. I thought it was our best game of the year. I really did." And I'm kind of like, as the third period's winding down, I'm kind of looking over my shoulder. I'm doing the dishes or something, not really watching closely. All of a sudden, I look back. It's like a minute and a half left, and it's 1-1 game. And I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? Aho, it's a great, great goal. They left him all by himself for some reason. A little quick little rush. He goes in, buries his own rebound. All of a sudden, it's a 1-1 game with about 3 minutes left in the third, and it's a different game. From that point on, the Canes just looked like a better team in the rest of that third into the overtime. And then you had Eric Cole, of all people, pick up a rebound from Brendan Smith, shot it from the point in overtime. And he kind of skates it back out, turns, and just fires it on net, goes off Ryan Lindgren into the back of the net. It's an interesting fact. As long as he's played and as many good teams as he's been on, he's been in Colorado, Pittsburgh, all these good teams, there's only a second playoff goal of his career. The last one was in 2016 when during that Pittsburgh run. So I thought that was kind of strange. That surprised me. And all of a sudden, yeah, the Canes win, even though they got outplayed most of the game. And I think that's kind of their MO, is that comeback, is that battling back. They're never out of it. And the Rangers, I think, are pretty disappointed. They'd like to have that one back.
Yeah, definitely. And the Canes did the same thing to the Bruins, where throughout the series, the Bruins at times were the better team. And the Canes just hung around, managed to, you know, keep it close. And then they score that last greasy goal because the Aho goal, it was just a defensive breakdown by the Rangers. You can't give him a little partial breakaway. And then Shesterkin saves it, and then he's manages to pick up the rebound. So these Canes, these bunch of jerks, as Don Cherry called them, like they are a pesky team. They have no business being here. They lost their starting goaltender. And the thing I like with the Canes, and this is going to pain me to say this because I have question marks with them. It's not just the first line doing it. It's not just the second line doing it. It is a total team effort with them. Everybody's producing, everybody's pulling on the rope. Antti Raanta played great. They could be the team coming out of the East. And maybe I just don't see it just yet, but it seems like every time I see the highlights, every time I watch a game, every time I look at the box score, it's not just the first line. And I know I said that was a key for them, getting a Sebastian Aho and Tuivo Teravainen and all these guys going. Maybe that's not the key. Maybe they're doing exactly what they need to do, because how do you stop this team? Which line do you focus on? Yes, they have that first line, but the first line hasn't been doing that much in the playoffs. It's been a balanced effort. So maybe that's the key for them winning. not having like the juggernaut line like Edmonton has or these other teams, Florida has. So I don't know. I still don't buy it. I think the Rangers are going to win this series, but I am slowly starting to drink the Kool-Aid a little bit. I really am. I don't know why. Kaki and Emmy played well. It's little bit by bit, I'm starting to buy into these Carolina Hurricanes a little bit. Even though they had such a fantastic regular season, so did Florida. It's funny, the top two teams in the East, I'm like, they're going to lose. I don't like them. I'm going to pick the bottom. The underdogs, if Tampa Bay could ever be called an underdog. But I don't know, Tim. You might be onto something.
Well, good news for the Rangers is Shesterkin looked better the other night. And, you know, I think he probably would have liked that rebound back from the Aho goal, but you can't fault him on the lingering goal. And if this is a sign of how we'll play moving forward, the Rangers, I think, will be just fine.
I agree. This is going to be a long, drawn-out series, like I predicted. A series that will not be long and drawn out. A series that could be over already. A series that it really was a fantastic first game. The Oilers and the Flames. It was everything you wanted it to be as a fan, as a coach, as a player. It probably was the worst game for both coaches. It was probably the worst game for all players involved. There were so many mistakes, so many blown coverages, so many bad plays, so many things that shouldn't have happened that a coach will just sleepless nights trying to fix all the problems, because it was a terrible game from a hockey perspective, like a purist, like this is what we want players to do. It was run and gun, baby. It was new age. It was, let's just throw out the book. We're going to skate as fast as we can up and down the ice. Nobody's going to make a save. Markstrom played garbage. Smith played garbage. Koskinen played garbage. Everybody sucked who played in net. It was just a terrible showing at the end of the day for all the goaltenders. What was Markstrom's final saves? I think he let in 6 goals on 18 shots or something silly like that. I'm not even kidding. I think it was 6 goals, 18 shots. It was a terrible stat line for Markstrom. And he gets the W, which is the most wildest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. But let's just break it down. So first of all, 15 goals. That's insane for a first game. That's insane for any game. I went back and I totaled all the goals for the Flames first series. They scored 29 in 7 games. Just to put it in perspective, 29 in 7 games. They're on pace for a 105 goals if this goes to 7 games. I know that's, you know, far-fetched, but it just shows how, and this is why I love the Flames. Let me put my coffee down. This is why I love the Flames. And I said it before the playoffs began. They can beat you in so many different ways, Tim. You want to play defensive hockey, Dallas? We'll grind out 2-1 wins. We'll grind out 1-0 wins. We will play that type of hockey. We can beat you so many different ways. Oh, we're going to play the Oilers next round. They don't play really tight defensive hockey. Guess what? We'll put up 9 on you. That's easy. We can put up 9 any day of the week. Oh, you want to play physical? Okay, we'll play physical too. You want to play that game? Well, guess what? Lucic is the toughest guy in this series. Oh, who else is the second toughest guy? Probably good Branson. Third toughest guy, probably Richie. Fourth toughest guy, maybe Cassian. So you want to play tough? We'll play tough. You want to score goals? We'll score goals. You want to play defense? We'll play defense. They can beat you in so many different ways. I love this Calgary Flames team. What was your take on this game, Tim? Because I think everybody knows Calgary goes up early. Edmonton flies and comes back. Calgary, you know, gets the win at the very end. What was your overall, you know, umbrella view of this game? Which team do you think is happy? I don't know, because it's a weird thing. Nobody should be happy, I think.
Well, John, the Flames won, so I think they're probably decently happy. But even – I forget if it was one of the players or Sutter, but he said that was like the worst game we played.
Daryl Sutter.
That was – what did he say that? Yeah, he's like, yeah, this is – I'm miserable right now. So Mike Smith, first of all, awful. Oh, awful, awful, awful. Two goals in the first minute. And then he left another one a couple minutes later, and all of a sudden he's pulled. The building is rocking. At that point, I even saw some of our friends from Nation Network, the Oilers fans, tweeting about game 2. They're like, okay, let's figure out, let's get some momentum going. And they battled back.
But you said it, Tim. Let me cut in. You said it. When you have McDavid, you are never out of it. I don't care what the score is. And you said this, like with McDavid, the lead is never safe. And they're up 3-0, all the momentum. Connor pulls him back. He's so incredibly good, Tim. All right, sorry, I cut you off. I just wanted to give you a little props because you did say that.
Well, I the Oilers surprised me. 5-1, you're down. Even 3-1 in that first 5 minutes, and I'm like, yeah, they're out of it. They're done. and battling back is something that we haven't really seen from them before. Like 6-6, they tied it up. This is the, I don't want to say it's a new Oilers team, and I don't think they have a chance to win this series, but this is something new. This is a step in the right direction, I think, that we haven't seen before. So they surprised me. I give them a little bit of credit there. And yeah, then my overall take.
Sorry, just to put ahead. The perspective, I hate cutting you off, but it was 5-1 with 13 minutes and 50 seconds left in the third, in the second period. So the seconds, midway through the second, they're losing 5-1.
Yeah.
1 minute into the third period, the game's tied 6-6. So Edmonton scores 5 goals in 14 minutes. That's insane. 5 goals in 14 minutes. It just shows you the firepower of them. It's incredible. And every goal had McDavid, Draisaitl stamp on it. They are so incredibly good. All right, sorry, go ahead.
No, just my last comment is how much the Battle of Alberta has lived up to the hype so far. It's only one game in, and it's like, this is so much fun to watch. These guys hate each other. This is a hatred. There's the extracurricular after every whistle. The Lucic hit on McDavid that started that big scrum. You know, Evander will get in his face, but Evander wants none of that. You know that. I would love to see those two guys go at it, but they won't. And I think Lucic, I think he's going to have – who's going to answer the call? Is there anyone that will fight Lucic on that team? Like, he's
– Cassian is the only one who would be dumb enough to
do it. Right, and I think we'll see him bully his way into another team win at this point. I think, like, he won't have an answer, and I think I could see him. The Flames will win a game because of the physical toughness that Lucic has at some point in the series.
It's the perfect series for him. It really is, because Edmonton's fourth line wants to play that way. They have some physical pieces on the back end, and Lucic is just too strong. He's too physical. He's too tough. And he's going to have his way. And the pride factor with Edmonton doesn't want to back down. So there's these scrums. The smartest thing Edmonton could do is just get out of the junk. Calgary's fourth line wants to start scrums. Brett Ritchie is a tough son of a gun. Like, he really is. He can throw them just as good as Luch. And they want to do this. That's their game. And they're going to give you the extra shove. They're going to hit McDavid. They're going to do this. You got to stay out of the junk. That's Calgary's game if you want to go that way. And they are so effective at it. And they're so incredibly good. So my advice to Cassian, just ignore him. Don't let Luch go in. When we played Boston, when I was with Buffalo, we just said, don't poke the bear. Don't get Luch going. That's when he was in his prime. That's when he was so good. And he's reverting back to that a little bit. He's not as fast. Maybe the hands have slowed down a little bit, but boy, is he effective. I think he's embraced his fourth line role, and he's really, really good at it. He gets up and down the ice. He's finishing his checks. Every whistle, he's scrumming it up. He's in somebody's face. He's trying to get under your skin, and he's doing a really, really good job. And Calgary, boy, oh boy. Sutter's upset, rightfully so. Markstrom played terrible, absolutely terrible. There's no reason this should have been a 9-6 game. I think out of all 6 goals Edmonton scored, 4 of them were just – awful, awful goals. Like, just terrible goals Markstrom should have saved. I don't know what he's doing. And the same thing goes for Edmonton, though. If they get decent goaltending, Calgary puts up 9. One was an empty netter, so they put up 8. I want to say 5 of them were savable goals. It was so incredibly just terrible goaltender play from both sides. I don't know how game 2 is going to go, but just if I'm an Edmonton Oilers player, I think I'm mentally just... I'm so incredibly nervous. And their coach said it, Woody. He said, we put up 6 goals. That should be enough to win a game. This has been their problem the last couple of years. Goaltending, defense. Now, to compound on top of that, Darnell Nurse is really hurt. It's just been revealed he's got a core injury. People have said inside Edmonton that he's going to require surgery at the end of the season. If you have a core injury, it affects every aspect of your game. He only had one hit last game. If you're Darnell Nurse, your game is hitting. Your game is physicality. You need to be in somebody's kitchen. If he can't hit players, if he can't play that type of game, he's a bad defenseman. He's ineffective out there. He doesn't have the hands. He doesn't have the speed to be able to be a dynamic player to kind of get up and down the ice like a Makar, even like a Tyson Barrie. He's not that type of player. So if he can't hit, he might as well just stay out of the game. The bigger injury is Draisaitl. He's got a high ankle sprain. You noticed it. He was limping. After the game, when he was doing his interview, he was laboring on the ice. He still puts up 3 or 4 points. Like, he's still an incredible hockey player. But when he's not at 100%, when Nurse is not at 100%, they're two of your top 4 players. I don't think they can overcome that. And it's sad because this could be a great series. It will be a great series. I think Calgary's going to sweep them, but I love the animosity. I love the goals. I love everything about this series so far. It's the Battle of Alberta, and it's just fantastic. But it will be a sweep. As funny as me saying that, it's a great series, this and that. Calgary's going to sweep them 4-0. I firmly believe that.
I just saw a great tweet from Kevin Papetti, who writes for Leafs News. He said, every recap of the Battle of Alberta is going to be Connor McDavid had 4 points, Leon Draisaitl scored twice, and the Edmonton Oilers lost 8-4. That's what every game is going to look like.
Do they listen to my podcast? Because what did I say? My exact words were, if I'm the Calgary Flames, I'm going to give McDavid 3 goals a game. Did I not say that?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what happened.
Do you think we see any game in this series that's like a 1-0 or 2-1? Or is it all going to be the over?
Maybe game three when they go back to Edmonton and Edmonton can kind of just calm down a little bit. I don't know. I think you're bound to see a shift, a correction with players. Like, I'm not going to be -5 tonight. I can't do it. Maybe I'm not going to pinch because every time I do it, I get burned. Maybe if I'm Tyson Barrie or Evan Bouchard or Duncan Keith, I don't need to chase that puck in the corner and leave Mangiapane wide open in front of the net. Maybe I don't need to do that. So there's always a correction, but there's so much firepower on both sides. There really is. And McDavid, like I said, he's going to get his 3 goals a game. Or 3 points or 4 points, whatever it is. So I don't know. Like the hockey player in me wants to say, yes, we're going to see a 1-0, 2-0 game. The fan is like, nah, this is going to be a track meet and it's going to be fantastic. But I don't know. No, we're not going to see it. That's my final answer. Lock it in, Reg. My final answer is no. But yes, They play tonight. Canes Rangers play tonight. Points bet, Tim. We nailed the points bet this past weekend. It was an under for the Canes Rangers first game, and we hammered the under. It was 1-0 with 5 minutes left. I sent you a text. I'm like, under's looking pretty good, Tim. Not bad. Not bad at all. So what are we doing tonight, Tim, for points bet? We got 2 games. What should the fans do? Because they're so flush with money right now. We've made them so much money because you go on points bet, you listen to our podcast, and you just win money. They just send it to you. So it's super easy. How much are we going to win the fans tonight, and how are we going to do it?
I'm just going to go with the straight-up winners here for tonight's game. I like the Rangers to tie it up in this series. I think they easily could have won game one. I like them to tie it up. I don't see that team going down 2-0 against Carolina. And then I like Calgary to win game two. I don't think Edmonton's got it in them to tie it up like we talked about. They're far better team. So, yeah, give me the Rangers and the Flames tonight.
Who do the Oilers start in net? Smith, who was just atrocious, lets in 3 of those first 9-10 shots, all of them bad goals. Or Koskinen, who wasn't much better. Koskinen gave up 5 goals. Who are you playing? If you're Jay Woodcroft, it's like, yeah. Am I going to pick the piece of turd that's a little one or the piece of turds that's a big one? Because they're both turds at this point after game one.
Yeah, Smith, 2 goals on 5 shots. Or sorry, 3 goals on 5 shots. Koskinen, 4 goals on 30. I say Smith, you know, you got to bounce back. He's been really good for you most of the time. And Koskinen, though, I will say it's letting 4 goals on 30 shots as a replacement, as a backup who get called in is different from starting a game. It's a totally different situation, totally different mentally. So I could see him playing better if he gets the start, but I think you still go back to Smith.
Markstrom, a big 786 save percentage after game one with the W. Let's send 6 goals on 21 shots.
Who's their backup? It's getting so interesting bad. Over there.
Here are the save percentages for all three. Mike Smith, 700. Koskinen, 865 with the trophy. Markstrom, 786. It's so bad. They're so bad. It's just like, it's laughable. Who's got the green jacket so far? CC was -3. Nurse was -3. They got the green jacket so far for the Oilers. Very excited for that race. Who's gonna wind up with the most minuses in this period? You know what's great is when you lose a game like this and you're +1. Zach Cassian's walking into that room. Come on, boys. I'm +1. Let's pick it up here. Kulak, +2. Bouchard, +1. Oh boy, Coleman had a game, +4. It's going to be a great series. I agree. Take the Flames, take the Rangers. I agree with that. Are we ever going to talk about these Arizona Coyotes? The debacle that continues to happen down south in Arizona. That's just been the release. ASU said, we're not even going to allow you to have your center ice logo painted on it. Like, nothing is going Arizona's way. Are we going to touch on this? How just they're getting their show ran left, right, and center by this little college team that started, like, Arizona State Sun Devils Division I hockey team was started 5 years ago.
I don't even think it's been 5 years. I don't know. There's so much other news going on that we could get into, but I think maybe I have to carve out some time next week to talk about that stuff.
It's just, it's an embarrassment to the NHL as a whole. If we ever want to be taken seriously and be a part of the big three, the big four, NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, you can't be doing this. And then Gary Bettman trying to paint like a rosy hue on it. Just imagine how electric it's going to be with 5,000 fans going crazy in that little rink. Conversely, just imagine how depressing it's going to be when there's only 1,000 fans in a 5,000 seat arena for a professional sports game. It's going to, Gary, you're such an idiot. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend. Get out there, make a difference. Watch some hockey, go to DoorDash, use our promo code, gamble on PointsBet. It's going to be fantastic, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.